From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome to Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have today. Former Major League manager Bobby Valentine drops by the podcast. Also, we'll talk some baseball rule changes for the upcoming season with baseball beat writer Anthony Finnick from the Detroit Free Press. That, plus foul or fair, and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors. July 1st, that's right. Players reporting to makeshift spring training facilities all over Major League Baseball. Here we go. Basically 3 weeks. And we can have a major league game. The 2020 season can get started July 23rd. That is the scheduled opening day. Who knows what to expect? It's going to be strange. It's going to be weird. But I'm going to tell you this. I am embracing it. Embrace the 2020 season. Accept what we have. It's better than nothing. I'm not going to poo-poo it. I'm not going to call it illegitimate or any nonsense like that. We're in a pandemic. If you want to read more, go read my column on Deadspin.com. It's an open letter to MLB America talking about this very thing. We just have to embrace what we have. And will it be legitimate, 60 games? To me, it's legitimate if everybody's playing the same amount, given the circumstances we have in the country right now with the pandemic. This is the best that can happen. There's no other way around it. I'd rather have this than 18 months with no baseball. So it won't be long. 22 days, and we'll hear play ball. And yes, Baseball America will be open for business, even without fans. But the national pastime will be back.
Number two.
A few days ago was the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. Yes, you remember prior to Jackie Robinson being allowed to play in the major leagues in 1947, black players, brown players were barred from playing in Major League Baseball. So, of course, they started their own league, the Negro Leagues. And there were teams all over, and fans showed up, and they had great uniforms and team names. Kansas City Monarchs, the Black Yankees, I mean, the Newark Bears. There's so many different teams and names. The Cleveland Clowns, just crazy, crazy names. Let's celebrate. And you should take a look. How many Negro League teams can you name? And we know some of the great players who played there, including Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, all kinds of great players who never got a chance. In case of Josh Gibson, never got a chance to play in the majors, who was considered one of the greatest hitters who ever played baseball, period. And that's a shame. But it is the 100th anniversary, and I think you should Google and look it up. Read on it. It's very fascinating. Try to figure out some of the teams and the players and celebrate black baseball. Yes, the Negro Leagues and its 100th anniversary.
Number three.
The Rockies' Ian Desmond had some interesting and harsh words about Major League Baseball this week. Talking about baseball, leaving behind minorities, especially in the game when you talk about the financial ramifications of what baseball has turned into. From kids playing on sand lots and neighborhoods to now, you know, this whole organized baseball and elite level and showcases and players have to pay $1,000 to be seen by scouts at these big tournaments, weekend tournaments and whatnot. And the response to that, obviously, is that that is not good because you do separate and you limit some players from having access to that stuff. So the only players who are being seen and drafted are the same people who can afford to go to these showcases. Baseball has done a lot to try to bring baseball back to the black and brown faces, especially the black kids in the inner city. They have the RBI program, Reviving Baseball in the Inner City. It's been around since 1989, and just more than a million kids have participated over the years, and that's a good thing. But there needs to be more. We've seen the numbers in Hispanic players explode to 27%, which is incredible. Baseball had a small uptick of African Americans from 6.4 to 7.3, somewhere like that, about a point up, which is good. It's not going the other way, so it's growing. But there needs to be more. And I think baseball recognizes it, understands it, and I hope it does more to make the game more inclusive and more accessible to everybody.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
We've got former Major League Baseball manager Bobby Valentine here on the podcast. And Bobby, I want to start with this. I need you to clear this up for me. Rumor has it back in 1999, when you showed up to the dugout wearing sunglasses and a fake mustache, that wasn't a one-time thing.
That was a crazy, day. Yeah, there's a catcher's balk called on Mike Piazza by the home plate umpire. I had never seen, but I heard about catcher's balk, but never seen one called in a game. And now in this very close game that we felt we had a win, at least I felt I had a win because I had 55 games to go 40-15, or else I was going to quit. Okay, I made that a public statement. I would go 40-15 in the next 55 games. And when I was asked, what if I didn't? I said, I'd quit. And this is like the fourth game of that 55-game stretch. And they call this ridiculous call on Mike Piazza, who I starts arguing with the umpire, and I run out to the umpire to get in between him and say, hey, guys, let's not do this. Mike, I can't lose you. It's extra innings. Stay in the game. And as I was walking away, I turned around and I said, hey, Randy, can you throw me out for what I'm thinking? And he said, no. I said, well, I'm thinking you're a lousy umpire, and then a couple other things. And he threw me out. And so when I got up into the clubhouse, the guy said, hey, you got to go back down to the dugout because we had just changed coaches, and they weren't sure that the coaches knew everybody who was in the bullpen. And so it was extra innings, and I went down after putting on glasses and a hat and a T-shirt and then went into the training room and looked to see what I looked like and saw that they had these eye stickers that you put underneath your eye to keep the sun from having too much glare. And I put one of the eye stickers, and I put it underneath my nose along my top of my lip, and I took another one and put it down the other way. I looked at the guys in the clubhouse, and they said, they'll never know. And with that, they'll never know, I went out into the dugout and got fined $10,000 and a three-game suspension. And then when I threw myself on the mercy of the court, president of the National League, Leonard Coleman, reduced the 3 days to 2 days and reduced the fine from $10,000 to $5,000. So whoop-de-doo, that's that whole story.
Yeah. So, Bobby, but when was the second time? Did you do it another time?
The first time I did it, I was in the American League, and I got suspended for three games, and the league president then said I couldn't be in the stadium after batting practice. And so it was like, oh, I couldn't be in the stadium, huh? Well, how, if we're in the Metrodome, am I going to watch this game? Because somehow I've got to watch this game. It's my team playing, and it wasn't TV in the bar across the street. So I went to these little street vendors, and I found a Led Zeppelin T-shirt, and I got some baby powder. At this time in my career, my hair was like jet black. And I took the talcum powder and I poured it all over my head to make my hair look like it was gray. And I got a pair of sunglasses and I got a fake mustache and turned it gray. And I put a hat on as though I was going to leave the stadium as I was directed to. And I turned right and went up an escalator to go to the left field bleachers. The only problem was on the way up the elevator, some Minnesota Twins fan going down the escalator the other way looked over and said, "Hey, Bobby, where are you going?"
30 seconds. Tell me, how's your restaurant, which I've eaten plenty of times in Stamford, doing? How long has it been open?
Well, you know, I've been in the restaurant business for 40 years, 40 years this year. And, you know, because of the COVID, they are doing terribly, obviously. We're big attraction bars. So hopefully we'll be able to come back. Thank you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, Rob, evaluating pitchers in today's game is much more than looking at a win-loss record or even ERA. With the preponderance of data at our fingertips, we are always looking for new ways to rank hurlers. Now, today, we're going to look at a metric called Sierra, or Skill Interactive ERA. Now, like FIP or DRA we talked about earlier, Sierra is measured like ERA, but instead of taking into account only strikeouts, walks, and home runs like FIP does, it uses balls in play to find out why certain pitchers are so successful at not limiting runs. Now, strikeouts, they're very good. High strikeout pitchers usually allow weaker contact, which limits runs. Walks, they're bad, duh. But pitchers who limit them will see their Sierra numbers improve. Balls in play, that's where Sierra differs. Pitchers who can maintain a low batting average on balls in play, or BABIP, either by coaxing weak contact or a high strikeout rate, will perform very well, according to Sierra. Now, with those parameters in mind, let's look at last year's leaderboard. No shock, but seeing guys like Cole, Scherzer, Verlander, DeGrom up there as 1-4 really helps to legitimize the metric. And in fact, each of the top 12 pitchers on the leaderboard struck out at least 10 batters per 9 innings while walking less than 3 batters per 9 innings. Now, Sierra, year-to-year, is one of the most accurate predictors of success for pitchers and should be one for baseball fans everywhere to keep tabs on going forward.
That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
In a 9-page letter on Instagram, Colorado Rockies player Ian Desmond reflected on racism he's faced through his life and recently became one of 4 players sitting out the MLB season. He said he's been doing it to improve the Sarasota Little League parks and inspire better Little League baseball culture and more diversity in the game. Is Desmond sitting out the season for these reasons foul or fair, JR?
It's fair.
It's a fair ball.
Ian Desmond is biracial, which is a completely unique experience to most people. He says he sometimes feels like he belongs everywhere and nowhere all at once. He says the image of George Floyd's murder was his breaking point. It sent him on a whirlwind of reflection. And the racial challenges he faced, such as when he was in high school and the baseball team got in the circle and shouted white power before the games, or he says racist and sexist remarks that he heard in the pro locker room, he's kept his emotions hidden for so long. Instead of playing this season, he's committed to making baseball more affordable to kids. So many African Americans get priced out of the sport, and that hurts him because baseball has so much to offer all kids as far as development as a person. He also wants to change what he calls a white culture of baseball, one that doesn't penalize black players for, in his words, having fun, tipping home runs, or playing fancy. He thinks it will help reconnect black athletes to the game and just make it more fun. So kudos to Ian Desmond for being one of 4 major leaguers to sit out, for acknowledging these things and wanting to help improve baseball culture from the youth levels on up.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Alon, Ball is Life, and he hit me up on Twitter with his trash. Quote, I'm trashing Judge Rakoff. There's absolutely no reason at all to unseal Manfred's letter to the Yankees. That investigation is over and done with. The Yankees were fined already for illegally using a dugout phone. With everything that's going on, there's no need to bring this up. It's old stuff. Baseball doesn't need any more scandals. We should all just be happy with the fact that we're having a season. If you want to be like Alon and win a new era snapback hat, make sure you hit me up with your trash on my Twitter at RobParkerFS1. That's right, trash anyone or anything in the world of baseball.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Anthony Fenech. He's covered the Detroit Tigers for 7 seasons for the Detroit Free Press and, of course, covers baseball. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Rob, my man, thanks for having me. Always good to talk some ball.
No doubt. And, of course, July 1st on Wednesday, players started to report to the makeshift spring training or summer training, whatever you want to call it. Just talk about the anticipation of maybe having baseball in 3 weeks.
I tell you what, I think there's anticipation, but to be honest with you, Rob, I think there's more holding of the breath because I don't think anybody knows for certain that Major League Baseball can get through these next 3 weeks with the way that the coronavirus cases are upticking across the country. I don't think anybody's confident that they can get through these next 3 weeks, let alone an entire 60-game season. I think that there's still optimism, and they're calling it summer camp. I don't know how I feel about that, but yeah, there's optimism, but is this the baseball everybody wants to see, a 60-game season in the height of uncertainty? So I think it's kind of tempered, especially with the bad taste that remains in everybody's mouth from the labor negotiations.
I get it, but I think at this point in the pandemic, if you're a baseball fan, Anthony, you're just looking for if we can get a fast and furious season in. I get all the other stuff and what's going on, and you're right. But if we can get a full regular postseason and some ball in, given the circumstances, I think most fans would take it.
I think so, too, and I think it's unfortunate the players and the owners weren't able to come to an agreement because I think in this format, 60 games, if you would have increased the postseason teams to expand the field, I think it would have been that much more wide open. A team like the Tigers might have an opportunity to sneak in there. So I think baseball is better than no baseball. Sports is better than no sports. And we'll just have to see how they kind of handle it throughout the spring training in the summer.
Our guest is Anthony Fenech. He covers the Detroit Tigers for the Detroit Free Press. Let's talk about some of the things we could see if there is baseball on July 23rd, which is the scheduled opening day. So all National League games will include the designated hitter. Where are you on that? You like that?
Yeah, I think that's a long time coming. If it wasn't going to be now, it was going to be at the next CBA in a couple years. I think the game has just been trending that way. And I think that, look, it's got some flaws right now, especially in a society that has such a short attention span as it does now. I think the game needs to pick up a little bit. And I think that if they substitute a pitcher for a designated hitter, a guy that's just in there for the bat, the offense will increase and they'll get their goal there. So I think especially because it adds another high-priced position to those NL teams, I think it's okay. But you know what, Rob? I'm going to miss the strategy. And I know people say it's outdated and pitchers are getting hurt and that. I understand it. But there was something unique about National League Baseball.
No doubt. I'm with you growing up watching National League Baseball in New York as a kid. That's what I was accustomed to. This one, I hope this is just for 2020. But putting an extra innings, putting a runner on second base, you know, to start the inning, or, you know, where are you on this? My argument, Anthony, is that there aren't that many extra inning games, my God, that you're making it like it happens every day. Do you like this?
No, I also don't like the other rule change, which is the you have to have a reliever finish the entire inning, pitch to three batters, etc. No, first extra innings. I mean, what's going to happen? Do you think, Rob? They're gonna bunt a guy over to third base, and then they can try to score him with a sacrifice fly. I think that those 17, 18 inning games. That's part of the beauty of baseball. But I will say that, look, this isn't a normal baseball season. I think one of those games, if you were to have a 16, 17, 18 inning game, I think that could really handicap a team for the next week or two. And given the fact that there's 60 games, I see where they're coming from. I don't think it helps the brand of baseball, the brand of game that it is. And then, look, the relievers, it's like, look, is a manager going to have to sit there if he knows that his reliever isn't, he doesn't have it today? Is he going to have to sit there and watch him blow the game because of this new rule? So I don't like either, and I do think baseball has a little bit of a problem on their hands because these rules are so new, and it's something that they have to get more life into the game because these are the best players that ever played it, but the product is very poor at this time.
All right, last thing. As we said, you've covered the Tigers for 7 years, and the real guy who, if it was a regular season, could have had a chance to hit his – hit maybe, isn't he close enough to hit 500 home runs or maybe not? I think he's
25, 30 away. I think we're talking about the same guy, Miguel Cabrera.
Right, Miguel Cabrera could have done it under normal circumstances. I doubt he's going to do it this year in 60 games, hit 25. But Miguel Cabrera, what can we expect? Can he bounce back? Is he healthy or is still a question mark?
Well, I'll tell you what, Rob. I just got back from watching Miguel Cabrera, who is one of my close, warm, personal friends. I watched him take some batting practice at a local batting cage, and he looks better than I have seen him since I've been covering him. I mean, this guy, he's slimmed down, and he's appeared to kind of maintain that shape over the three-month layoff. He was hitting rocket after rocket, and I think that it's really easy to look at Miguel Cabrera as a 36, 37-year-old player who's past his prime. It's harder to look into it deeper, and you know how this guy was. This is one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time, if not the greatest, and I think he still has something to prove. The 60-game season should do him well. I'm expecting big things from Cabrera in 2020 because I think that he's really put in the work to make his body, get his body in shape, and that should help him, especially in the 60-game season.
All right. His name, Anthony Fenech from the Detroit Free Press. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Anthony. And maybe, just maybe, this will all work out and we'll have baseball on July 23rd.
Hopefully, man. Thanks for thinking of me, Rob. Appreciate it.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Baseball might be right around the corner, but COVID-19 isn't going anywhere anytime soon, and some MLB players have decided not to play this season because of the virus. On Monday, Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Mike Leake and Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman announced they are opting out of the shortened season because of the pandemic. And later in the day, Colorado Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond released a statement saying that he, too, would not be playing this season. Desmond has four children and a pregnant wife at home, and he said that being home this summer is more important than playing. In an Instagram post, Desmond, who is biracial, also points to the civil unrest as a reason for opting out of the season. Desmond said, quote, "Home is where I need to be right now. Home for my wife, home to help and guide, home to answer my older boy's questions about coronavirus and civil rights and life. Home to be their dad," end quote. Hat tip to Ian Desmond for doing what's right for him and his family.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL, and it ain't even close. What other sport can celebrate a player? Wednesday, July 1st, was Bobby Bonilla Day. What? You're asking me Bobby Bonilla, the former third baseman and outfielder in the major leagues? Yeah, that Bobby Bonilla. Somehow, some way, the Mets owed him $5.9 million, and instead of paying him the money, they decided to defer the payments for what seems to be ever. So Bobby Bonilla, on July 1st of every year, gets a check for about $1.1 million from the Mets. And this has been going on. Hasn't played since 1999. And he will get that check until 2035, if you can believe that. There's still 15 more years. So what was supposed to be a $5.9 million payout has turned into a $35 million windfall. The New York Mets, what were you thinking? You couldn't have been smart. No other sport has such a kooky story that happens every year on the same day. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.